الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم The life of this world is a competition. And people, they tend to gather their resources in order to compete for whatever they deem to be the most important to them. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in such a way that, number one, we tend to put our sights on things. And then number two, we tend to expend our energy and resources in order to achieve those things. Otherwise stated, you can say that we have desires and we seek to fulfill those desires. And everyone is different in their pursuits, but this principle remains the same. For example, somebody may become passionate about basketball. And when they become passionate about basketball, they will expend their resources in order to compete. You'll see that some people will join leagues, and they'll spend time, money, energy, training in order to be able to excel in those leagues. So much so that they won't even focus on the competition during the period of competition, but they'll spend all of the off-season preparing for the next year's competition. Like they say that the basketball season doesn't begin on day one, it begins on the last day of the season. Meaning next season begins on the very last day of the current season. Because right away, people begin to expend all their resources in order to be able to achieve their goals for the subsequent season. And this is true in every domain. There are some kids, they set their sight on, achieving greatness in the NBA. Most kids are not going to end up in the NBA, but they set their sights on this. And they put their energy and their time and their effort, they ask their parents to sign them up for this league and that league and travel basketball, and they need to have this equipment and that equipment. It's all being driven from inside. Other people will set their eyes on something like the Nobel Prize. There are kids out there. I remember when I was in high school, there was a student. You would ask him, what do you want to do? He says, I want to win the Nobel Prize. And he wants to win the Nobel Prize, he's going to expend his entire life trying to achieve that goal. This is called competition, and human beings have been designed to compete. Every domain has a competition. And the principles are always the same. You set your eyes on something, and then you expend every resource possible in order to be able to achieve that goal. SubhanAllah, the Quran also encourages us to compete. And the principles remain exactly the same. More specifically, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a description of the bliss that the believers will experience in the hereafter. And while giving that description, the description is being, the entire scene is being described, and there's a break in the action, meaning this blessing, this blessing, this blessing, and then there's a break, and then the blessing, and then the blessing. And in that break, the Quran tells us, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And for that, the competitors should compete. It's a very beautiful way of saying it. And in that, the competitors should compete. Meaning for that, the competitors should compete. So what's occurring in those verses is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the bounties of Jannah and the bliss that human beings will experience. And then after creating that desire for the one who's paying attention, after creating that desire, human beings are reminded that they should, this is what they should be competing for. This is what they should be expending their resources for. And subhanAllah, if you look at the world, that's exactly what the world is doing. Meaning, the world sets their eyes on something and then will expend all of their energy, time, resources in order to be able to achieve that goal. Like I said, for some it's sports. And the amount of time, energy that they put in for sports is absolutely phenomenal. You can just do a little experiment. 4 in the morning, maybe 4:30 in the morning, you can drive over from here, 5 minutes away, you can drive over to the Skokie Stadium. It's a little ice rink, just maybe 5 minutes from here. 4:30 in the morning, there are kids showing up there, high school kids, junior high kids. They wake up, so must be waking up 4, 3:30 in the morning in order to practice before school every day. What are they waking up at 4 in the morning for? How is it that they're, literally the kids probably wake their parents up. I doubt the parents are able to drag their kids out of bed at that time of day. The kids are waking their parents up and asking them to be dropped off at that place. Why? Because they get inspired. You know, they join the program, they watch a few people, or I don't know, they look at the Olympics, they watch a few people, they get inspired, and they want to be able to perform, so they practice at that time. That's the only time they can find in their schedules. Where is this coming from? And how are they able to achieve these goals? They get inspired by something. Once they get inspired by it, they begin to press themselves in order to be able to achieve their goal. It's two steps. Desire, and then expending everything in order to be able to achieve that. You can see this same phenomenon that's present in the gyms. At 3, 4 in the morning, there's people going to the gym. Same phenomenon is present in school. There's people who stay up late in order to gain knowledge. There's people who wake up early in order to gain knowledge. There's people who, hey, look, we're in the middle of college application season. What are people doing? They're like, spent the last 4 years doing all of these things in order to achieve an application, in order to be able to get and compete with all these people to enter into some sort of school that they think will be beneficial for them. And these resumes are amazing when you read them. You know, these are, what, 16, 17-year-old children. They're producing resumes as if they're like applying to, you know, some major award. And they have to have academics, they have to have extracurriculars, they have to have sports, they have to have all these things. And when you go to the, I happen to be in the middle of this because, you know, you have children who are involved in this, you go to the college visit, and there's like another 300, 400 people sitting there next to you, all with the same desire. And they're expending every resource possible in order to be able to achieve it. Some of these kids, literally, from the day they were born, they're put into these like schools in order to prepare them in order to achieve these like accolades in life. Every resource is being expended for what? Every resource is being expended for a goal that they deem to be important, that they have internalized and are ready to spend every single resource. SubhanAllah, there are people, For a college application, there are people who spend $500,000 in order to hire a consultant. Not, they don't pay the school $500,000. It's illegal to do that, to pay the school $500,000. They don't pay the school $500,000 to get in. They pay the consultant $500,000 to advise them how they can get in. That's no guarantee. It just means that the person's going to advise you along the way so that you can be the best you can in this particular competition. Every competition is the same way. There's people on Lake Michigan, they race sailboats. And they have these sails. The sails are $100,000, just the plastic sail. It's not even, I shouldn't say plastic, carbon. That's why it's $100,000. It's a carbon sail. It's so light that and aerodynamic that it allows them to be able to get just a tiny edge on their competitor. And they don't, that's just the sail. How much does the boat cost? How much does the team that they're putting on the boat cost to be able to maintain the boat, run the boat, race the boat? What are they doing? They're racing around a bunch of cones in the lake. Go back and forth, and then they can claim victory. But this is what they desire. This is what has arose within their heart. And then they do everything possible to compete for that. We're being told, the Quran is telling us, describing to us the beauties of the immense bounties and experiences of Jannah. And then we're being told, and for that is what you should compete. Meaning what? Meaning that human beings inherently are competitive. In race, they will figure out something to compete in. And all of history is a competition. Who's competing against whom? At the time of the Prophet, prior to the coming of the Prophet, they're competing in horses. They're competing in poetry. They're competing in lineage. Human beings from the Stone Age have been competing. There's always some competition. Nations rise and fall, all predicated on competition. All of history is predicated on competition. People, the gladiators are competing. The Vikings are competing. This group is competing. That group is competing. The Romans are competing. The Greeks are competing. All these people, they set their eyes on a goal. They expend either their personal resource if it's a personal competition, or they expend national resources if it's a national competition. To achieve whatever goal they deem to be as important. And we as Muslims are being reminded that we too have a competition. It is inherent that we will want to compete, but we don't set our eyes on the things of the dunya. We set our eyes on the blessings of the hereafter. And when we hear the blessings of the hereafter, this is the thing that the competitor should compete for. It's very eloquently stated. It's for this that the competitor should compete. Meaning, look, if everybody in life is going to set their eyes on something and compete, whether that's my bank balance or what college I went to or what job I have or what profession I might be engaging myself in or some extracurricular thing. You know, I'm competing in ice skating, I'm competing in sailing, I'm competing in basketball. Everybody is inherently going to compete. We're being reminded that our competition should be solely for the pleasures of Jannah. And it's in the process of that that we may secondarily gain some benefits in this world, but we have our eyes set on a different game. And we should be expending every single molecule of our energy. You want to be biologic? Every single molecule of ATP should be spent in order to achieve that goal. Now, you know, we do it secondarily, meaning like we tend to, you know, wrap the whole thing. We tend to pursue the dunya and wrap the whole thing up in deen. Should be the other way. We should pursue the deen and it should be encompassing our dunya. We should be eyes on the prize. Like they tell the people who wake up at 4 in the morning, you know, eye on the prize. The guy's boxing, he's waking up at like 3 in the morning, running every single day, building up his stamina, training like, you know, hours and hours in a day in order to win this single, I don't know, how long these boxing matches last, half an hour, 35 minutes, depends on, sometimes less, sometimes a little more. But this is what every single person who desires Allah and His pleasure, this is what their prize is. It's Jannah. Yes, we have other things in life. It's not to say that we don't want to pursue other things. We see other things as important, but they are steps to a greater goal. They're not goals in and of themselves. The one goal that we have is Jannah. And honestly, that's the common denominator for everything in life anyway. Look, the world is just a board game. We have to exist in this board game. We have to play the game of life. But we're very clear on one thing, that this life is going to completely disappear. And we are only going to be left with the end consequence. And the end consequence is Jannah or Jahannam. And even within Jannah, it's not sufficient for us to only claim that we want Jannah, because we appreciate that there are levels of Jannah and we want the highest level of Jannah. Everything else is going to come and go. That's the beauty of Islam. It pops the bubble before the bubble pops. It pops the bubble before the bubble pops. What do I mean by that? When we die, the bubble's going to pop. Then we're going to see reality for what it truly is. All of a sudden, it's going to become clear to us that this world was just a mirage, that there was nothing real here, that it was a test in which we could attain good and do deeds and earn a reward for the hereafter. That day that we die, the bubble's going to pop. And it's going to be extremely sad if we didn't appreciate or didn't live up to the reality of what this world really was. Islam pops the bubble before the bubble pops. It tells us of what death will entail before death occurs. That's a huge blessing. We don't have to be surprised on that day. We've been already forewarned. We understand that this world is a mirage, that this world is passing, that this world is a test, that we take nothing with us to the grave, that we come the way that we're going to leave the way that we came. These things are utterly clear to us. And if we fail to appreciate that, then we're the ones that are lost, because it's not going to change the fact that the bubble is going to pop. Like, it doesn't matter what the whole world talks up. It doesn't matter that a bunch of talking heads say this or that, or people the whole world decides that something is important or something is not important, because you can't change reality. Reality is clean and clear. It's established and set. Everything is going to end up the way it's supposed to be. Doesn't matter how people talk things up. So we have a prize. The beauty of Islam is that it reminds us of that prize and fixates us on that goal. And we don't deviate from that goal. There's one thing in front of me, which is Jannah. And the pleasures of Jannah and the bounties of Jannah. That's what's the reward. That's what's permanent. That's what's lasting. That's what's meaningful. And I have to do everything in my power to attain it. I have to what? Compete. What does compete mean? Compete means I get up early in the morning and I'm focused on my goal. Compete means that I take every single resource that I have available to me and I expend it to attain my goal. Compete means that I plan well in advance how I'm going to attain my goal. Nobody wakes up in the morning and shows up at the Olympics. Nobody wakes up in the morning and just shows up at the NBA Finals. Nobody wakes up in the morning and shows up at Harvard. They are competing, planning, working for sometimes decades before they achieve that goal. We have a goal. As Muslims, we have a goal. It's beyond what we see around us. And we aim for that. Now, in the process, the beauty of it is that in the process, when a person aims for that goal and puts their sights on what they're trying to achieve, it just so happens that the dunya tends to come to those people. Not always, but often. So when a person sets their sights on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward, it's not uncommon for things to secondarily come into their life, because the benefit and the barakah and the beauty of Islam is such that a person ends up winning in this world as well. It's not a condition. I'm not saying that that always has to happen, nor am I saying that that is the goal. It is a consequence of being fixated on what's real and important. For example, if a person focuses on Jannah, they're going to develop a certain degree of excellence. They're going to work hard. That hard work, that sacrifice, that lack of distraction that arises from having a goal is secondarily going to result in hard work in everything that they do. Focus in everything that they do. Sacrifice and struggle in everything that they do, because these things are constitutive. Constitutive means that you express them in one domain, they become expressed in all domains. So that's secondarily what's going to happen. But it's a very different underlying phenomena when the person is fixated on one goal versus fixated on the hereafter. How many people come to me complaining and crying that they couldn't achieve the one thing that they were trying to achieve? They get so fixated on that. They can't even see that, like, they're crying about tiny, tiny differentials. You know, the person wants to go to medical school A, doesn't get into A, but gets into B, and is absolutely devastated and distraught. I'm looking at the person like, what are you talking about? Where are you? Your whole mind is completely focused on the wrong thing. You focused on one specific school. How do you know that school is good for you? How do you know that that's where you're supposed to be? How do you know that you're going to be truly happy there? You have no clue. There's no even criteria by which you've made this decision. You just let this one thing enter into your heart, and you put all your eggs in this basket that you can't even see that the thing that you got is essentially equivalent and actually has no differential between the two in the context of the greater reality. But they're not focused on Jannah. They're focused on what they let come into their heart. And you know what happens? Eventually you get that thing, and when you get to the top of the mountain, you realize that it was actually better at the bottom. All these people, they compete for something, and when they finally get to the peak of what they were competing for, they look down and realize that there was actually nothing here. It was better down there. The people who are wealthy, they like wake up every day looking at the most wealthy people. They think that one day, gosh, if I had $1 billion, I would be a billion times happier. Just as a kid, maybe, let's say, there's this person. I'll give you a simple example. Person wishes they could be a famous rock star. They like look up to all the rock stars, or this NBA star, or this movie star. So they grow up that way. It's funny, one day when they get there, they find that they're actually not a million times happier than they would have been, than they were before. They actually find that it's worse off up there. Because there's so many stresses up there that you end up having lots of different other issues that arise from being in that type of position. We don't have time to go through, but it's just human nature. The competition that every single one of us has our eyes set on is one. It is the hereafter. And it's the highest levels of the hereafter. That means that we compete for the hereafter. And when we compete, that means that we plug every single possible resource into achieving the hereafter. It means that I'm going to be the first one out of bed to achieve the hereafter. It means I'm going to be the last one to go to sleep to achieve the hereafter. It means that I'm going to sacrifice every ability that Allah has given me to achieve the hereafter. My time, my wealth, my energy, these are all going to be given for the hereafter. Isn't that what the people who compete with? What does it mean? What does it mean to compete? It means that you put everything that you got into achieving your goal, that you don't leave anything on the field in order to win. This is why you see, like, for example, take like a famous game, pick anything, I don't know, a Super Bowl or a playoff game. You ever notice if they show you what's happening on the bench of the losing team, everybody's crying? Now you can scratch your head, what are you crying? Why are you crying? That's so extreme. That's an extreme emotion. But the reason they're crying is because they put everything on the field. In fact, if they weren't crying, it would be a sign that they didn't compete. Because it's human nature. When you put everything out there and you fall, you're going to obviously break down. But that's the sign of their competition. What's the sign of our competition? We're aiming for Jannah. And if we trip one day on our journey, that the believer, they're sitting in the masjid crying. You look at the person, you say, you pray 5 times a day in the masjid. You're a scholar of the deen. You've been servicing the deen continuously. What are you crying for? I'm crying over my one sin. That's the sign. That's the sign that they're doing everything in their power in order to be able to achieve their goals, because they don't see anything. The one who's truly competing never sees their victories, but only sees the most tiny failure, because they're looking at the goal that they're trying to achieve. Isn't that what the best students in any class say after the exam? What do they say? I sit with them, I know. We give the exam. These are the top students in the country. And when they walk out of the exam, I say, what do you think? I failed. What do you think? I failed. One time, I was sitting with the dean of the entire, what do you call it, the biological sciences division at the university. And the dean told us a story. He said, you know why I love this place? We're just sitting. He's just a few people in the room. He says, you know why I love this place? Because when I call people to my office, they sit down and they ask me, what did I do wrong? When I call people to my office and they sit down, the first thing they say is, what did I do wrong? And I say, no, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm calling here to congratulate you. You just won this, you won that. So this is the nature of the people who compete. They're at this upper echelon of competition, you know, trying to advance whatever their mission might be. In this case, it's science and medicine. The inherent attitude of the competitors is that I've never done enough. I can always do more. I didn't sacrifice. They don't look at what they achieved. They look at their few deficiencies in the process of their trying to achieve their goal. This is what needs to be embedded in every single one of us. This is what the Quran is reminding us. That, see these blessings? This is what you're aiming for. See this ultimate bliss in Jannah? This is what needs to be filled in the heart as a goal and as a desire. And then it breaks in the middle and says, and this is what the competitors should, and it's for this that the competitors should compete. It's for this that the competitors should compete. Now I ask myself, is this what I'm competing for? Is this what I expend all my time to achieve? Is this what I wake up in the morning hoping for and what I go to bed at night dreaming of? Is this what I take every single resource that I have and expend in order to be able to achieve? Is this where my time goes? Where my wealth goes? Where my energy goes? Where my focus is? That's the question. Because otherwise, we're competing for things that we know are going to pop when that bubble pops. Everything else is going to disappear. You can scratch the surface of the world and win lots of prizes. You can scratch the surface of the world and win lots of prizes. And perhaps there's a space to applaud that. Somebody scratches the surface of the universe and understands a little bit about the mechanisms of the universe and wins a Nobel Prize, a prize is present to win. And it may even be that we should applaud it. But it's not reality. It is real, but it's not ultimate reality. Because ultimate reality is what? The universe will be disintegrated, and this world is a test, and everyone will have to stand before their Lord. And the true success and the true victory and the true permanent lasting reward is Jannah. That's the beauty of this deen. It clarifies the unclear. Sure, I agree. If you have no understanding of the hereafter, then you should compete. And then the conversation here would be different. We'd have a different thing that we're competing for. And again, I'm not saying that we can't compete for the things that are good, because we've been taught that we should compete for the things that are good in this world. We should pursue the things that are good in this world. We're encouraged to do so. But it should always be in the context of the greater goal. Why am I competing in this domain? Because it gets me further in the bigger goal. What's the bigger goal? Jannah. And the rewards of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be able to appreciate the immense rewards of Jannah. May He allow those to enter into our heart and to be what inspire us in order to be able to achieve that goal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين